For our sermon, I want you to turn to these passages in Joshua, which I read for you, and in the 5th chapter, verse 14. Joshua said to this captain of the Lord's host, "Art thou for us or for our adversaries?" He said, "Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord, I am now come." And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship, and said unto him, "What saith my Lord unto his servant?" Now today I thought I would go a little further, because in this book of the U.S. News, they talk about other archaeological discoveries of great significance. And I am persuaded that we're going to see a great many more come. As we come down to these last days, the Lord just going to dig up that graph, dig up these things, and these matters are going to come to the joy and the strengthening of people like you and me, as it has. Your pastor just responded tremendously. But the ungodly, who are unregenerate and blind, they're in the dark. And they won't be able to appreciate them at all. But we do. But in this account, the magazine U.S. News and World Report, I've used much and much time, it's all come apart, speaks of other significant and important discoveries in the field of archaeology beside the scrolls. And they touch upon Jericho. And in explaining the Jericho dig and findings there, this additional story has this to say. Archaeological disputes about the Battle of Jericho show how difficult it is to establish a coherent picture of the Israelites' earliest years. In the 1950s, archaeologist Kathleen Kenyon, she was a British, argued that Jericho was destroyed about 550 years B.C., more than 150 years before Joshua could have arrived and brought the walls tumbling down. Now, this is U.S. News and World Report for the 7th of October. But a recent re-examination of artifacts from the site has led archaeologist Bryant Wood, now he's a member of the faculty of Faith Seminary today, to conclude that Jericho was in fact destroyed around 1400 B.C., The city's walls do appear to have collapsed suddenly, and the blackened timbers and stones, as well as a layer of soot dating to 1400 B.C., all suggest that the city burned as the Bible says it did. That's in U.S. News and World Report, and every fundamentalist in the country says, amen, as the Bible said it did. And let's see, it goes on here. Here it is. Also was found bushels of grain on the site, consistent with the Bible's account of a springtime conquest, so rapid that Jericho's besieged population had not exhausted their food. So grain was found, left there, that had gotten away. Now, beloved, to have this brought out in this paper for the world to read, I turn right back to the account here of the conquest of Jericho. And as I look into it, we find something I think that's very, very helpful. We have the faith of a group, not just the faith of one man. And as you go through the hall of faith, you've got the faith of Abraham, that's one man. You've got the faith of these various ones, the faith of Noah, But here we're told in Hebrews, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encompassed 7 days. So we've got 7 days tied in with the calendar. We got 7 days tied in with history. We got 7 days identified there. But by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. And we're speaking here of the faith of all of the children of Israel that had come this far. Now as we go back, the first thing I want to speak to you about is that the whole operation of the children of Israel was an operation of faith. Coming out of Egypt, going across the Red Sea, going into the wilderness all those years. And when they got over there to the Holy Land, were ready to go into it, Moses sent the 12 spies in, and 10 of them came back. The walls are there, the giants are there, they're big people. They were negative, but two men came, Joshua and Caleb, and said, yes, they're there, but the Lord's been before us, let's go and possess the land. And because the 10 of them didn't have faith, God said to the children of Israel, you're not going in, all you 10 and all the rest of you over 20 years old, you'll die in this wilderness. You people don't have the faith. You ought to have had all the miracles. I've been feeding you every day with free bread. I've been giving you the nicest of meat every evening when the quails come in. And then you just lack the faith. And beloved, the most costly thing for any church as for the people of that church to lack faith. It's costly not to have faith, and to have the faith that God intends us to have. Well, we have these counts here where Moses was not permitted to go into the Holy Land because of his sin, the consequences of it. He struck the rock, and water gushed out, but he claimed the credit for it and didn't give it to God. And God says, no, because you've demeaned me, I won't let you go into the land. But no, Moses did get to see it. And then we have this Jordan River here coming down, going into the Dead Sea. Flood tide, whole river just up to its banks. And here the children of Israel parked over there on the west side, or the east side it is. They looked at that river and they looked at Joshua and says, Joshua, what in the world are you going to do? He says, just a minute. And then the Lord told him, you line the people up. I know the brink is full of water. You get the ark and you get your priest. You keep the people way behind the ark. And on the third day now, you tell them we're going to go in. And when the feet of the priest touch the waters, they will divide. And you know those priests believe that? They walk right down to it. Joshua believed it. They walk right down to it. The people were all behind, they walked right down to it, and when the feet of the priest touched the brim of the waters of the Jordan River, the Jordan just stood up here like an iceberg. Right up, dried up. Joshua said, you men that are carrying the ark, you go stand right in the middle of that stream there. It's dry. We'll all go by while you stand there. And after they went across, Joshua says, now I want you to take 12 stones out of the river, bring them up here, and we'll make a monument out of them. But also we want you to put 12 of the stones in the base of the river that they'll be, and they had two memorials, one in the base of the river and the one up on the bank. And there they are. May I just say to you, someday maybe it'll be the millennium. I'm expecting an awful lot out of this millennium, you know. We'll get these 12 stones that the Lord used at that time. But they went into the land, and here was the city of Jericho nearby, and a walled city with all these high walls, highly fortified. And we have the story that we've just read for our scripture. This angel of the Lord's host spoke to Joshua and said, Joshua, God's going to give you the city now. Nobody will fire a shot. God's going to give you the city. And then Joshua got the instructions that they were to walk around the city one time each day for 7 days. We're told the walls of the city was all shut up, completely shut up tight. Everybody was scared to death. They'd heard of this crowd of Israelites coming out of Egypt and what had been going on. They were scared to death of them. They had a right to be. And then it was that Joshua sent in two spies. They went in at night and got in the city, and then the rumor was the spies were there, and the police and the officials got busy to find them. And it was Rahab's house up on the side of the wall, and she hid them. And she understood what they were doing. And she protected them and saw that they got out of the city, and she put a little red string out of her window. She made them promise that when the city was taken, that they would spare her and her family. Just a little red string. Well, spies went back to Joshua and explained the whole story to them. And then they proceeded. Now, did you ever hear of anything that's... What in the world could be involved in? Here's seven men with the trumpets, and here's the Ark of the Covenant, and here they come behind them, just walking around the city. And you've got a people now that are going to do exactly what God told them to do. And nobody, walls will fall down if you don't do what God tells you to do. Well, anyhow, it was a silly thing. Here they're just walking around. I've been to the place, you can walk around the mound that's there easily in a day. But anyhow, they did it, and the people all saw this. And then the second day they went around. And here they come a third day, they go around. And comes a fourth day, the poor town must have been in panic inside of that place. What in the world's going on here? These Israelites have come here and across the Dead Sea, stood up on this walls, and the walls fell over and drowned all the Egyptians, soldiers and armies. And what's going to happen to us? What's going to happen to us? Fourth day, fifth day, sixth day. And then on the seventh day, they had to get up pretty early because they had to go around seven times. And then at the end of the seventh time they were in it, Joshua said, shout. And up went this awful shout, and the walls fell down flat. And all these years, these archaeologists have been trying to figure it must have been a special earthquake or something that fell there. They're in the Rift Valley anyhow, where they've had a lot of earthquakes. And it was just some earthquake hit the house. It had nothing to do with this myth that we have here, this nice tale they've told out about walking around the city like this. No, Joshua wrote this story. Joshua gave us this account of what happened. And then the people were told to go right up, and they did. And they took the city. Here is the faith of the whole company, with a man of faith leading them, Joshua. And when they did what God told them to do, there were direct consequences that God said. And you and I have got to remember that if we will be a people of faith as a church in all our activities, and we do what God tells us to do, God's going to protect us. God's going to take care of us. God's going to use us. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down flat. And it's very, very interesting that in the account that we have here, the evidence is that the walls fell straight down. And that's exactly what is there today. Now I want to tell you, before I get into the remainder of this, what a real thrill this is to your pastor. We're told in this U.S. News and World Report that it was in 1950 that this British archaeologist was working there, and the remains of her dig, a lot of it's still there. Well, when Ms. Mangenentire and I went in 1950, we made our first trip around the world. We were gone 3 months from this church. And Ms. Mangenentire and I and Dr. T.T. Shields went to Australia in 1950. We went down to the major city there in Australia, and we were met by the head of the Archaeological Society of Australia, a very lovely gentleman and his wife, and they invited us to be the guest in their home. And he had just come from Jericho. He had just come. And my, he was full of it. He was telling me all about it. And he mentioned the fact that this British lady was there, but she was misinterpreting it. But that he believed that the excavations of Jericho actually confirmed the story of the Scripture. And one thing he did before we left, he came to me And he said, "Mr. McIntyre," he says, "I have something I'd like to give you." He said, "I was over there and I got some of the grain. You see, it's burned and looks like it's not corn, it's barley apparently. But," he says, "this is what we found. And the children of it, I mean the people in Jericho had to leave so fast or they were killed, that they didn't have anything to dispose of the food they just harvested." And he says, "I have a little tube here in which I put some of the grain. And this grain, as of this time, is 3,400 years old. Now, I've treasured this ever since, and I've protected it and kept it. I've taken it to ICC meetings, and when this came up, I went and got it out again where I had it protected. And here in my hand is some of the very grain that was in the city when the wall fell down and when the city was burned, and here it is black. Now, I've been told that these will sprout if I break them open and plant them, but I'm not going to do that. I'm not even going to divide them and give them to my congregation. We're going to keep it." But when this story came out this week about our archaeologist in Faith Seminary, Dr. Wood, being the authority and recognized as such for the findings that the real evidence of Jericho confirms the fact that it did collapse the way the Bible said it did. Another evidence that what the Bible says will be true and will be confirmed. And I've been truly thrilled with it. Now, why is it that God has been pleased to give us in the local secular magazine so much space in this issue of the 7th for the whole world to see? Well, I know one thing. He did it for me to see. And he did it for me to explain it to the Lord's people everywhere, that when the walls of Jericho fell down, they fell down flat. And when they made their dig, they found the grain of the springtime. And they brought that out as evidence that the story was correct. And then in the calculations that Dr. Wood has made, he's come up with the confirmation that it did happen when Joshua was there, and he brought these 2 million people, maybe that many, across the Jordan River. And here they've camped, and the first great triumph that they're going into the land to possess it was God brought the walls of Jericho down as he did. Beloved, this would have happened when they first got to Kadesh Barnea instead of going back and wandering through the wilderness until all the people, 20 years of age, had died and their bodies were in the dust of the desert. This would have happened then. But now we have a Joshua and we have a people, and the walls of Jericho fell down by faith. The people, all the people, realized that God was going to do something, and they were ready now to watch God do it. And you and I are a people who believe that God's going to do certain things that He says He's going to do, and bless the Lord, we're going to watch Him do it. You and I are going to partake in the resurrection very soon. We're going to watch Him do it. You and I are all going to get new bodies and new faces and a lot of other things new, and we're going to watch Him do it because we believe it. And we're a strange people with these strange views about how this earth is going to be brought to its climax and how finally it'll be destroyed by fire. All these things are going to happen. And because we have faith, we have knowledge. Because we have faith, we've lost our fear. Because we have faith, we have comfort. Because we have faith, we have assurance. Because we have faith, we have Jesus Christ. Now that's the emphasis. The whole emphasis of this whole Bible, this whole book, is that men will have faith. Faith to be saved, faith to live, faith to be comforted. You cannot live without faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. My, I thought about that Jericho. I've been there. I don't know many times we've been there. And I marvel when I go there. I wish they could come in there now and excavate the whole thing. They've just got sections of it opened up. Just excavate the whole thing and what would happen. This Bible tells you and me that every mouth, every critic shall be stopped. Everything that's ever been said against Jesus Christ is going to be blotted out. Everything that's ever been said against God is going to pass away. Everything that's ever been said about this Bible is going to be shown to be trash. God is going to be perfectly and fully vindicated in what He has done and what He has said. I think I'm going to have a good time these next months watching the liberals squirm. I'm going to have a good time watching these scholars talk about this thing. They can't talk about it. Here's the paper, here's the scrolls, here they are. Here's the whole book of Isaiah and every book in the Old Testament. We got something from it now. And we don't have Esther, but we've got all the rest of it. And as I told you people, I'd give anything if I could get a hold of the book of Daniel and go through all these things in Daniel that they say that we're all myths. And the whole thing is going to be brought right up. And I hear you come to Jericho, it's in this position here, and God's going to give us a great many more things, and I think He's giving it to the fundamentalists for our comfort and for our encouragement. We've stood on these things. We've fought for these things. We've suffered for these things. And now the stones cry out and say, yes, it's true. Yes, it's true. Could you ever imagine why 1950, how was I older in 1950? Here I went to Australia. And the man who gave them to me said, I've just come from Jericho. And he brought this with him. The grain, the barley, it's black, you see. It's been in fire. And he says, I'll give you some. And here I have it all these years later. And now we have the archaeologists telling us that Jericho fell the way the Bible says it did. That's the glory and the joy that we have. Now let's go a little bit further. You know, when the children of Israel left Egypt, by the way, one of these scholars in here from Harvard said the children of Israel never were in Egypt. They never did leave Egypt. This thing is all myth. And they're reporting that. But when the children of Israel were in Egypt, 400 years in Egypt, suffering, slaves. And the Lord raised up a Moses, little baby in the bulrushes, put him in the house of Pharaoh, and Pharaoh's daughter adopted him. All the learning that God had come to the place where He's going to take care of them. And then here comes Moses and Aaron going in to see Pharaoh, and God hardens his heart, and God has to send him another plague, and another plague, and another plague, and finally the very last plague is the death of the firstborn. And in all the plagues that God put in Egypt, not a one of them touched the Israelites. That night, when God says, I'm going to send the death angel over Egypt, and you children of Israel kill your lamb, take the blood of that lamb, put it on the doorpost and put it on the lintel, and when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. And every house in Egypt that didn't have blood on the doorpost and the lintel had the firstborn die that night. God stopped the hearts of every firstborn in Egypt. And Egypt wailed and cried. Pharaoh says, go. And they went. And after they gone on their way, Pharaoh had a change of heart. He sent his chariots after them. The children of Israel heard they were coming. And what happened? Without faith, fear generates and is multiplied and becomes powerful. And they said, oh, Moses, Moses, you brought us out here. No graves in Egypt. You brought us out here to be slaughtered by this army. Here they come, here they come. And the lack of faith led the children of Israel to tell Moses, take us back, we can enjoy the leek and the garlic, we can enjoy our slavery, at least we'll live. And it took the strength of this man Moses to tell them that God was going to do a great thing for them. Then you have the story of the Red Sea. They came to it and they were blocked in, and Moses held up his hands and they were held up and the waters divided, And this is the mystery of how the Dead Sea rose up on either side and they went through on dry ground. I don't question it. God can do anything He wants to with water. He can do anything He wants to. But they passed over all this multitude, dry ground, and they got on the other side, and then here comes Pharaoh's chariots, and then God turns the trickle or spigot, and they all tumble down. Tremendous thing. And I have no trouble believing it. God worked in those very miraculous ways for His people. And I can tell you, I have no trouble believing any of the miracles because I've already accepted the biggest miracle of all. And if the biggest miracle of all is okay, well, the lesser one's no problem with that. And the biggest miracle of all is opening that casket, opening that grave, bringing Jesus Christ out of it after He was under the power of death for 3 days. Once you accept that, you don't have any trouble with anything else. God can do anything He pleases. Oh, Jericho. Here is your grain of 3,400 years ago. And oh, you Christians that won't believe that Jesus Christ is in charge. He's in charge of our lives. We plan and man proposes and God disposes. And every one of us ought to really believe that every day we have with Jesus is sweeter than the day we had before. We're getting closer to the day when we'll see Him. We're getting closer to the moment when we'll have the opportunity to be with Him. Just think of all the saints and all the loved ones that have gone through that little door of death, as we call it, and it takes us right into the presence of Jesus. And Paul says, I have a desire to depart. I want to be with my Christ. I want to see this Christ. That's where you and I are going. And we're going there by faith. We're going there because we're a people that believe that God will keep His promises and He has power to do what He wills and pleases. And there's not a one of us that can't see His good hand in the providence of God. There's not a one of us can't see Him doing this and doing that. And we're so grateful to Him, and we ought to see that. But the walls of Jericho fell down because the people marched around them and had faith to believe that what Joshua told them he'd gotten from the Lord would happen, and it did. And if the walls of Jericho fell down according to the plan that God gave to Joshua, the graves are going to open according to the plan that God gave to Paul and to Peter. And to all that you and I have in the New Testament. Fear is a dangerous thing because it doesn't have faith. And faith and confidence and trust in God and our determination to be the kind of a person that He's made and wants us to be gives you and me a confidence, a security, and a comfort that nothing else can give us.